Okay, fine. We're up to Simon Samach Gimel, and we are up to Siv Gimel. We spoke yesterday in great detail about the concept of taking chumras, and we said that it's not so poshut at all. Details discussed in Mishnah Berurah over here, in the name of the Yam Shel Shloime. We're now going to continue with additional very important halachas with regards to Shema. Siv Gimel. Hoyam Halach Baderech, somebody who is walking. He's walking. He wishes to say Shema. Somebody is on a journey, he's walking, he's traveling, and he now wants to say Shema. So at the very least, we understand you need to walk, you understand you are traveling, but at the very least, for Shema, you should please stand still, stand, as opposed to walking, when you recite the very first pasuk of Shema. So the Mishnah Berurah explains this in Sif Cotton Test. Mishnah Berurah says, Afal Gav, although we did discuss and we did learn that a person is allowed to say Shema whilst walking, that's true. However, it is ideally you must stand b'shalt posugishin to kikiyas Shema. So it's true. Really, halachically speaking, you're allowed to walk when you say Shema, but it's not the best way of doing things. Lechatchila, you should be stand for a minute, not even a minute, for literally seconds while you say the first pasuk Shema, then you carry on walking. But with the effort, you're going to be yotze even if you walked. The reason is, l'fishen im yushuv kol kach, is not so settled. You're not settled when you walk. You're obviously going to concentrate a little bit on your walking. You won't be able to concentrate on Shema. So if you can, you just stand still and then carry on walking when you finish saying the pasuk. You're not able to concentrate shum halach when you walk, as if you'd be standing. However, if you read when you were walking, you do not need to repeat. Siv Gimel. Excuse me, Siv Dalet. The main kavona needs to be when reciting the first pasuk. Hilkach, therefore, im kora, if you read the first pasuk, veloi kiven liboy, and he did not have kavona be pasuk rishon in the first pasuk. Lo yotze de chavosa, you're not yotze. Vechoy zeir, and you repeat, vechoy, and you say it again. Veafilu, and even leman dom, according to the opinion, mitzvahs entzich es kavonim. Even according to the opinion, that generally, when it comes to all the other mitzvahs, ain't tzrich es kavonim. Intention is not me'akev, and even if you fail to have kavonim with any other mitzvahs, we hold entzich es kavonim, even according to that opinion. Moi dehoche, he will agree, these opinions will agree here, that if you said Shema, the first pasuk of Shema, without kavana, everybody agrees that you're not yoitze, you did not fulfill the obligation, and you need to go over it again. Here, when it comes to Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which is being mamlech Ribono Shel Olam, the essential fundament of Yiddishkeit, that if somebody fails to have kavana for the first pasuk, you need to go over it again. We did learn, as the Mishnah Berurah points out in Sif Kotten Yud Beis, that if you have to say it again, you're going to say it quietly. As we discussed in Simon Samach Aleph, that if a person has to say Shema again, he's going to say it quietly. Yeah. So on the way the poskim explain is that actually it is not the literal translation which is ma'akev. The way I understand from the poskim is that the crucial point is the underlying concept that Shema Yisrael, which is Shema Yisrael, which means a lotion of obligation, we must hear and we must understand. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. Now, if you don't know how, if somebody doesn't know how to translate Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, doesn't know exactly which word translates into what, that doesn't really matter. It's the underlying concept that we believe Hashem is one, Hashem created the world, Hashem runs the world, and we are all meshubba to Him. That, if a person understands that, even if he fails to translate words literally, it's the underlying concept which is ma'akev. That's what a person has to have kavana, and that's what we're talking about over here.
Just for the first.
Yeah. So if a person doesn't exactly know the literal translation, even of the postulation, and even more so throughout the text of Shema, it's not really ma'akev. It's the concept behind it. So with regards to the other paragraphs, it's the schav oinish concept, which is really critical. It's the reward. If you do a mitzvah, you're going to get rewarded. If a person does an Aveira, he's going to get punished. The underlying concept, which is the critical point, that person needs to have Kavanah. If a person doesn't exactly know Esev Besotcha, or he doesn't know exactly translation, what exactly is Toitofa is again, it doesn't really matter as much as the underlying concept behind it, which is critical. So that makes sense? Yeah. Okay. But again, it's the first pasuk which Kavanah is Ma'akev. First pasuk, which is really critical. See if hey, how you yoshin? If a person was sleeping during Shema, metzarin oisoi, you are metzarim. You put him in agony. You are metzarim. You cause him tzar. Umeirin oisoi, and you wake him up. Achiko pasukishin until he reads the first pasuk. Vuer mamash, and he's totally awake. Mikan ve'eilach for the rest of Shema. You don't have to cause any agony. In order that I should read, and he should be totally awake. Although half asleep, half asleep, yotze is yotze. V'din shosiv is shikah. And the halacha of somebody is drunk and not fully with it. He's drunk one cup too much. And lekamon simin tzadites. That's his cousin simin tzadites. So the Shulchan Aruch of it teaches us there is two levels. Is a person who is Yoshin Mamash, completely asleep. If a person is completely asleep, you must wake him up, as Shulchan Aruch says. You have to wake him up, even if he keeps falling asleep all day, he was up the whole night. You have to just make sure he's awake when everybody recites first pasuk of Shema.
It says you have to hurt him, and then you wake him up. It's very important you hurt him first, and then you can wake him up.
Well, so what do you think, what's Pshat?
It seems to be
he's tried before to be made him with unsuccessfully. It's obviously there's no chiyuv to hurt anyone. It's referring to I hear the diuk, but it's talking about metzarin oisa umeirin umeirin over here in order to wake him up. Metzarin oisa umeirin in order to wake him up. And certainly, if he can wake up without metzarin oisa, you have to say if the negel vasabo will do the job, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Yeah, I hear that. It's obviously talking about why otherwise would the Shulchan Aruch have to say metzarin oisa umeirin oisa. It's talking about that you have metzarim in order to wake him up. The chiddush of it is, that's how much you need to ensure, that's collective responsibility. That's how far it goes to the obligation to ensure that he's reciting Shema. You can't just pat yourself by saying, I tried to give him a little stop and I didn't do the job. He's still shluffing, I can't do it, I'm raising my hands, I can't, I'm being very polite of you, I can't do any better than that. You can't say that. You have to take away your English gentleman, and you have to actually cause him a bit of a, in order that he should wake up. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, that for the first pasuk, you need to really make sure he's completely awake. For the rest of Shema, even if he's half asleep, half not asleep, for the rest of Shema, never mind, as long as he actually said the words, not fully with it, doesn't matter, as long as he's somehow sort of said it. The Mishnah Berurah over here, in Sifkot and Tezayin, is a really important Mishnah Berurah. I'm not quite sure why the Mishnah Berurah waits all the way here to say it, but Mishnah Berurah in Tezayin, with his last narrow line, says the following. Misnamnem, Vuadin Oines, Achem Vatel Kavanosa Yotzo. If anybody is in any state of Oines, which is Mavatel is Kavon is still Yotze, Tari Al Kol Pone, because at the very, nevertheless, Koro, his Kula, if he said Shema, the rest of the Shema, excluding the first pasuk, the rest of Shema, if he said it, then he's Yotze. Aval Nishtaka Besheino, but if he mamash, fell asleep properly and properly, v'loy koron, he didn't say Shema, lo yotzo, he's not been yotze, even the rest of Shema. Tariyal koponim tzorich likoy sekula, because you certainly need to say the entire Shema, you need to recite the whole Shema. So the difference between the first pasuk and the rest of Shema is, that the first pasuk you need to be completely, clearly up, you need to be awake, you need to be focused, you need to be concentrated. No two ways about it. For the rest of Shema, you don't have to be complete, decline, if you're dozing off. I don't even know 100% with it. It's fine as long as you've actually physically recited it, even if you're not fully with it. Does that make sense, Rabbi Yisai? Yeah? Tomorrow morning, we're all going to see with Nagel Wasser bowls, with hoses in shul, everybody, spritzing everybody to make sure everybody. Now comes the Mishnah Berurah over here, which says the following. That's really an important Mishnah Berurah. V'da, you should know. Teyesh shalosh deos beina poskim. There's three opinions in the poskim. Yesh oimrim, some say. The rak posuk rishon bilvad, that merely only the first posuk min haTorah is biblical. Only the first posuk of Shema is deraisa. V'yesh oimrim, and some say no. The kol hapasha rishonu min haTorah. Others say the Shema, but also v'after is midoraisa. So the first opinion says literally the first posuk Shema Yisrael. The rest of midrabanan. The second opinion says Shema and paragraph of v'after. V'yesh oimrim, and the last opinion says v'yesh oimrim the gam hashniyah min haTorah. Also the second paragraph is also midoraisa. Three opinions: Shema midoraisa, the rest midrabanan. Second opinion is Shema and V'ahavta is Midraisa, dress Midrabanan. And finally, the third opinion holds that Shema, V'ahavta, and V'ahaya is all Midraisa, the third opinion. Continues the Mishnah Berurah. V'Parashat Tzitzis. What about Parashat Tzitzis? The last paragraph, Parashat Tzitzis. Le'kula Alma, according to all opinions, Hu Min Atoyre is Midraisa. Today, in order lehaski Yitzias Mitzrayim, in order to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim, v'tiknu lehaski b'sman kiyas Shema, the takana is to recite it during Shema. V'ayin lekamon simen samech zayin b'mishneh Berurah v'shayat shuv v'sham. So Mishneh Berurah over here says, it's three opinions, what's the rise as far as mitzvah Shema is concerned? V'after, only, or also, only Shema, also v'after, also v'hoya. Three opinions amongst the Shoinim and Achoinim. The Mishnah Berurah does say, however, you must remember that there is also Parashat Tzitzis, the final paragraph of Shema, that according to all opinions is Midraisa. That everybody agrees with Midraisa. However, what has to be emphasized, stressed, and understood is that the last paragraph, is it really Shema obligation? Parashat Tzitzis, is it really a Shema obligation? Is it? Pardon? That's right. So, you're right. It is not really a Shema obligation. The fact that we remember, you're right, in the final paragraph of Parashat Tzitzis, is we remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's an obligation per se. It's an obligation that we have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not really intrinsically connected with Shema. It's not really. We tie it together, but it doesn't really, it's two different obligations, really. It's two separate obligations. So, if God Machloikis, what is Mitzvah Kiyas Shema? One paragraph, two paragraphs, or whatever. But we've got, besides that, an additional obligation, which is certainly Midraisa, to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is the final paragraph. And we all put them together. Yeah, what was that? What's your duke?
Because it says in what we just learned that you only have to wake him up, really, for that first pasuk, and after that, it doesn't really matter, and we come back either. So I wondered if that's...
I think you're right. I didn't actually notice that, Duke, but you're 100% right. I think you probably are. Yeah, I think you're right. I think the opinion of Mr. Shannels points out that it appears from the Loshen of the Shulchan Aruch. Does everybody agree to that? The Loshen, from the wording of the Shulchan Aruch, it would appear that he says that he refers to the first pasuk of Shema. And it appears that the Shulchan Aruch's opinion is that only the very first pasuk is Midraisa. Rabbi, so what do you think about that? Is that true? Do you think that's how the Shulchan Aruch holds? I think that's probably true, the Duke. Yeah, what do you think? Yeah, I think that's probably true. Yeah. Okay, continue the Shulchan Aruch. HaKoyre, the one who reads. So, see, Vav. Yeah. HaKoyre Kriya Shema. The one who recites Shema. Lo Yirmoiz Be'einov. Do not make sign language with your eyes. What's that called? Yeah, and to blink, it's like, don't make sign with your eyes. What's the reciting Shema? For lo yikroitz besfasav, don't make sign language with your lips. Velo yire beitz boisav, and don't, velo yare beitz boisav, don't make sign language with your hands, with your fingers, but pasha rishona, during the first pasha. Sho'ike kabbalah se machushmaim, which is the main kabbalah accepting of kabbalah machushmaim, mipnei, because it would appear, shenire kekoire arai, because it would appear as if you're reading, not properly, not thoroughly. Vexiv in the pasuk says, vidibar tobom, v'darshinon ase oisom keva. It should be a fixed thing. Shema should be a fixed thing. So even assuming you can't concentrate whilst you're making sign language and your mouth, your eyes, you're blinking, even if you can't concentrate, which is debatable, But even if you can concentrate, you're not allowed to do that during Shema, fingers pointing and doing all types of sign languages. You're not allowed to do that during Shema because the Pasuk says it should be a fixed thing. Shema should be recited in a fixed, established, focused, concentrated way. And if you are engaged otherwise, you're not doing it the right way. Even for mitzvah matzah, says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Yud Zayin, v'lo yirmoiz afilu dvar mitzvah oso lirmoiz, you certainly know for mitzvah, even if it's for mitzvah matzah, don't be making remiza, v'kol shken li v'motzo sh'oso li sh'oif tabak b'priya shema. So don't smoke when you're saying shema. Okay? So we're not saying if it's good or not good outside Shema, we're not going to that discussion, but during Shema, for sure, Mishnah Berurah says that it's very wrong. So even snuff tabak is also wrong during Shema. Yeah, one has to find another time to do so. Seif Zayin. Rabbi say driving when saying Shema. Driving. You're driving, how about saying Shema during... Says the Shulchan Aruch. Hoya oisik b'malacha. Somebody is busy. Otherwise, his work is busy. He wants to say Shema. He's batil memelachtoi. Stop your work. Don't engage in business. Until he finished saying the first parsha of Shema. Again, because it's going to be considered a fixed thing. How can you be working and saying Shema simultaneously? Come on, that's wrong. He wishes to say Shema. He wants to do both simultaneously. He wants to do both simultaneously, so we tell him, don't work. What's your duke?
I'm saying, the fear is there. Sorry. It's not going to just want to say it at any point. Sorry, the time has come to say it or not. He's going to...
Why does he want to say... He wants to do both... His wish is to be able to gain time. He wants to do both simultaneously. That's Rotzo.
Yeah, the
chiyuv is there, but the rotzah element, his rotzah is
while he's doing the malach.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I hear that. Yeah. The difference, Moshe wants to know, an interesting question. I said that driving will be considered oisik b'melacha. Moshe says, but hold on a second. We mentioned earlier, you'll have to say Shema when you're walking, when you're on a horse, So you're asking, what is the difference? It's a good question, Moshe. What's the answer?
If you're driving, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
Say Kishma, you want to concentrate and drive at the same time.
Yeah.
But presumably,
Malacha
means you've got to think about what you're doing.
That's right.
Walking,
and therefore, definitely the difference is when you're walking, most of your brain is not focused on the walking. It's not. You're not really concentrating much on the walking. However, on the driving, a lot of concentration. One has to really be focused on the driving. I don't know if most people do or don't. That's another matter. But one should certainly be focused on that.
Today cases where police have stopped somebody because they're eating their breakfast when they're driving.
Right.
And they've been in trouble.
So
if you're saying Krishna and you're driving, and you cause an accident.
Yeah. Yeah, in some countries, I don't know, England is not one of those countries, but in some countries that one is not allowed to talk on the phone, even with the various handsets, Bluetooth and whatever, when he's not allowed to, because apparently there is evidence that your person's brain is focused on the conversation, and therefore the driving is much more dangerous. So even with the permitted handset, in some countries it's illegal. Pardon?
Is there a possibility? Could you say Mishmat Moed Ben Ashur?
And therefore. I'm not understanding your question, I'm afraid.
Are you not allowed to talk on the phone while you're in the car?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure it goes that far. I'm not sure. Yeah.
When these halachas were written, people were
normally led by a horse that had its own seichel. So enough that it wouldn't crash into something. And you can't really rely, until Google finished their self-driving car, you can't really rely on that. So, number one, there's going to be a different type of driving, where you can't stop, and you certainly can't cover your eyes, and you can't necessarily pull over. Okay, so you can't say Shema if you can't pull over the first pasuk. But in terms of speaking on the phone, there's no law against talking to the person in the passenger seat.
So apparently, good question. I asked the same question to somebody who is... He asked him, well, what's the difference between talking into the handset and talking to the person next to you? So there's an answer to that.
You can see what you can see.
Exactly. Apparently, I don't know, this is all things that I heard from... apparently, when there is a dangerous situation, automatically both people, the driver and the non-driver, they will be focusing, if suddenly it starts snowing or it starts to be windy or there's an accident or whatever it is, the conversation will automatically apparently stop. And there's, instead of two eyes focusing on the road, there's four eyes focusing on the road. As opposed to when you're talking to the handset, your brain is not concentrating. Apparently, so I'm really saying things which I... that I yeah.
The body's running for sure.
Yeah.
Going on the road, so I don't think you have to worry about talking to God's world when you're driving.
Yes.
I think yeah. You
Good point. Yeah, good point. Okay, let's just finish off Sif Tes and Sif Ches and Sif Tes. Ha'omnin, the workers. V'chein balabais and any other working, skilled man. Shoyo oise melocha, who would do work, b'roi sha'ilon, on the top of a... he would prune a tree, basically. Oy b'roi shuras ha'binyan. Or he would be a... he would lay bricks, he would be a bricklayer. Koring kriya shema, they are allowed to actually recite shema, bim koimam, in their places. So on the top of the tree, you can say shema, on the wall, a bricklayer, he's allowed to say shema as well. Ve'enam tzrichim leiret, they do not need to go down. Why is that, Rabbi Isai? Pardon? Hired workers, okay. Getting paid. And what if they're not? Would they have to go down? Exactly. The poskim say that they're quite safe where they are. I mean, I wouldn't particularly be particularly comfortable to be up there, but they feel very comfortable there, and therefore there is not lacking of they're not lacking kavona. They'll be all right. They can say shema there as long as if you're comfortable there. That's fine. Hakatev, somebody who lifts up loads. Hafel pishma soy al kseifoy, although his load is on his shoulder. Koyrei kriya shema is allowed to say shema. Havelo yaschil b'shar shetoyen, but don't just start saying shema when you're loading it on your shoulder. Velo b'shar shepoyik, and not the minute that you're taking the load down off your shoulder, don't just start saying shema that minute. Bipnei sheinli b'mushu, because at that very point, you're loading it, unloading off your shoulder, you're not going to be concentrating on the Shema. But whilst there is a big heavy load on your shoulder, you're allowed to say Shema. Just make sure not to actually start Shema when you're loading or unloading. A question which is very relevant, Rabbosai, Stocker collection. Now, the post can speak about it, isn't it, Simon? So I want to mention it. Somebody's collecting Stocker and you're saying Shema. What's the halacha, Rabbosai? Oisik b'mitzvah, potem min ha-mitzvah. Rabbi Kagan says, "Oisik ma'mitzvah potem min ha-mitzvah." Therefore, since you are engaged in saying Shema, you're exempt of giving tzedakah. Oisik ma'mitzvah potem min ha-mitzvah. Your opinion, Mr. Berlin? Agree? Disagree? Do you have to pull out a voucher? No. Don't need to.
You can wait till afterwards.
Yeah, but he might not be able to wait.
Yeah, but he should be collecting when he's saying Shema.
Yeah, he should be collecting when he's saying Shema. Yeah, what do you think? Potur chayev. Potur. Potter, have degrees? To some extent, yeah? Yeah. So the poskim agree, the poskim do agree that that one is not obligated to give tzedakah, one is not obligated to say tzedakah when one says Shema. There is no obligation. Whether it is osim mitzvah, potter no mitzvah, or whether it is because you're ruining your Shema by trying to get some money. So, and he's actually, yes, the halacha is according to most poskim when he's not obligated to say Shema. Shlem Zalman, other poskim actually, they actually took out some money before davening, they put it on the side. So if somebody wants to collect, they can just take the voucher or the coin without disturbing. So that's what some gedolim did in order not to be not to lose out the mitzvah. To recap what we covered tonight, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach Shemoy, we spoke about the halacha of somebody is somebody's walking and time has come to say Shema, he should lechatchila stand and not walk when he says Shema. Periyavet, it was yotze even if he walked. We learned that the first pasuk is the ikka kavana. If a person failed to have kavana during the first pasuk, he needs to go over it again and again and again until he has kavana. That's what goes to the first pasuk. We learned also a person sleeping, when it should wake him up, in order that he should say, fully focus the first pasuk of Shema. He needs to be fully awake and clear and aware when he says the first pasuk of Shema. With regards to the rest of Shema, even if he's half asleep, as long as he actually said Shema, is yotze. Mishnah Berurah here brings three opinions with regards to the raisa level of Shema, is either the first pasuk, v'hafta, or maybe even v'hayom Shema, the three opinions. Either way, the final paragraph, which is Yetzias Mitzrayim and Parshas Tzitzis, for sure is m'deraisa. We learned that somebody who says Shema is not allowed to make sign language, whether it's by mouth, by eye, by fingers, everything is not acceptable, because Shema should be a fixed thing, as the pasuk says, v'dibar tobom. Siv Zayin tells us a person is working, he has to stop working and say Shema, and otherwise, again, it's lacking in v'dibar tobom. It's not a fixed thing. It would be lacking in v'dibar tobom. We learned somebody is working on top of a tree, on top of a wall. He is allowed to say Shema there if he feels comfortable. He is allowed to carry on saying Shema there. That's not a problem. See, if Taz talks about the katev, somebody is carrying loads, he's allowed to say Shema when having a heavy load on his shoulder, as long as he doesn't say Shema when he puts it up or puts it down. And we'll continue Simon Samachtala tomorrow.